Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Talking About Bigfoot. This is Dr. Jones, and I've got my co-host with Robin McCray. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. A little bit of stormy weather, but other than that, we're doing good. How are you doing?
Well, it's good. It's a dark, stormy day in Myrtle Beach. About where you are?
Oh, yeah, it's like you said, it's been a little bit stormy. We get good weather for a few minutes, and then it hits us all over again.
It really does. So that's to say, it's all good. So how's everything this week? And the brand new international that's a very exciting thing. It's called the community.
Yeah, we're excited about it. A lot of good things coming up, a lot of good things planned. We will have our illustrious leader, Dr. Igor Borstev, with us soon. He will be here in August. Yep. He's going to be doing your conferences. He's got a few other ones that he's going to do as well. We're going to hopefully get him on this show, which I'm sure he will do. Since he'll be staying here, it'll be easy. I can just go knock on his room door. I think we got a good shot of having him on here.
Well, that's absolutely great. What kind of things is he working on right now?
Pardon? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Uh-oh. What kind of things is he working on right now?
Right now, he's been doing some filming over in Moscow. He did a book that was just absolutely fabulous of a lot of his encounters, experiences, people that he's talked to, worked with, some professional things that he's uncovered throughout the years. And he did it in Russian and he did it in English. And he is now converting it over to just English for us here in the States. And that will be available for sale on our website soon as well. So we've got that on there.
Great.
Yeah, we're going to put a link up for the Hominology t-shirts. Hopefully that will be up here within the next few days. So anybody that would like to not only, you know, help our project, but they could also wear the shirt with it. And the foot that's on there is actually a sketch that was done by Melissa Pierce, who we absolutely love and adore, and her wonderful husband, Josh, who helped get the printing done for us. She did the drawing and he did the printing. So those will be up for sale as well. And then Igor will be here. Like I said, he'll be doing the conferences, definitely doing all of yours. He'll be there with not only Igor, myself, but Janice Carter as well. So we're thrilled about that. And he's going to go out to Hinobio as it stands right now. So he'll be doing that. So we're going to be keeping him busy when he gets here. We want to do some press things, get the word out about the project, and have him just kind of reach out to a lot of people. He's kind of been the silent leader. Well,
that
he's kind
of
been
like
our silent leader. Yeah,
you
it will be, I think. Well, he's been our silent leader since we really kind of launched it because it was just a matter of timing. He has been so extremely busy with filming. He's got a lot of projects he's working on over in Russia, and he was doing that. And so we got it launched because we really had just been waiting to do it. I mean, this has been in the works since last year. So we went ahead and launched it anyway. And so once he gets here, he'll be doing catch up to be a little bit more active and vocal in that.
Well, that sounds really good. So now what have you been keeping yourself busy with, if I may ask that question?
A little bit of everything. I mean, you know, these wonderful foots of ours. They've been really active. They've been, you know, playing around a lot. We've had a lot of activity on the roof, a lot of activity in the yard. We had a experience with a rattlesnake that has decided to set up camp in my air conditioner. And so we had hoped that it had left. We put all kinds of things over there by it to kind of make it not want to be there anymore. And I was in hopes that it wasn't anymore. And then today a large tree was put down across the path so I couldn't walk by the air conditioner unit. And we were told that, you know, that was why, because it's still there, so we're not to go over there. So they've been helping out. They're getting a little bit better about taking, you know, the gifting spot, but not great. Definitely the ones in Michigan, anything I took put out there, they were there waiting for me in the sidelines when I put it out. I never had an issue getting them to take anything. These over here in South Carolina are a little bit more cautious, but they're gradually getting into it. They're great at leaving gifts. They really have been astounding, even from the first night we were here, but getting them to take gifts, not quite as much.
Gotcha. So living with Bigfoot is always a very interesting experience, correct?
It is, because we don't know from one second to the next. And then, like when you came out that time, I had said to them, I want everybody on their best behavior, but I would like a little bit of activity so that everybody, you know, that's here understands that I'm not just talking about this stuff. I'm really living it. And so, Janice and I, of course, Janice has been here a lot, and now she's here for quite a while. She's going to be permanently with us, which is wonderful. We're thrilled. And, but like when you guys came out, I told them, I said, a little bit of activity would be nice, but we want good behavior. Because I did one time, I had someone come to the house that was going to spend the night, and it was his first time here. And I said, okay, you guys, I expect you guys to at least let him know that you exist and that you're here. And I should have specified that nothing could be broken, no harm could come to anybody, because he was here all of 5 minutes. We had no water. The stove went out. Things were pounding on the roof. Things were pounding on the front of the house. And then keys were being taken, and nobody could find the keys. And they were hanging on a hook. We turned around, and all three of us knew they were there, and they were gone. It was just crazy stuff. Whether it was foots or ghosts or whatever, it was crazy. So now I'm very careful and specific. So when you came, I had told them I would appreciate a little bit of activity where no one is frightened and no damage is done to anything. So, like when you were there, you have to be specific. It was pretty frightening.
So we're standing out there in the front yard. And there's no wind blowing. It's just a nice, cool, early summer night. And then all of a sudden, the trees on the left-hand side of your yard start shaking.
Yeah.
And I know the difference between shaking and the difference between wind, because wind blows something one direction, and then it will come back another the same direction. So, it was a little frightening, but certainly there was some activity there. And we certainly appreciate seeing that certainly made me a believer. And then, of course, seeing the light gray shadow in the backyard roaming around.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was absolutely there. And I checked very carefully to the back of your house and made sure that no one was shining a flashlight or whatever. And that certainly was not happening. So, it was
right.
It was all for real.
Yeah, and, the one that actually was in the backyard with the gray shadow, believe it or not, I nicknamed him Shadow back in 2009. And the reason I did was because no matter where I went in the woods, he shadowed me. And he is white. I knew what color he was. I've actually had an encounter where I was 10 feet from him. I was able to see him fully. And then I watched him cloak in front of my eyes. But for like 5 minutes, he was in, full form, and he was standing 10 foot from me out in the open. This wasn't in the bushes. It wasn't in the trees. He was probably about 20 feet out of the tree line. I was standing in the middle of the yard, and we were only 10 foot apart. And he's just very, very dear. I absolutely adore him. But, and he loves to do the belly crawl. It's kind of like the Scooby-Doo thing. Remember when we were kids and we watched Scooby-Doo go across on his belly? It's kind of what they do when they do that belly crawl. But those bushes where they were shaking them for you, I don't know why that's such a hot spot. They love that spot. And Jan and I were outside the other night, and we had one just come barreling through and went right up the tree line next to the house where the air conditioner units are, and then right in front of the pump house, and then right back into those bushes. And we were just standing outside, and she went through there like a freight train. All I saw was a bunch of gray and black fur. She went so quick. And, you could hear it. It was loud. All you could hear was, complete quiet. It's middle of the night. We're standing outside. It was dark. We're just looking around. And it just poosh, and she went right through. Like, you could hear the branches breaking, you know, and when you run through the woods, you know how you hear the leaves slapping your clothing or your legs or whatever. And you could hear that on her. But I did see the black and gray blob thing just go, like I said, it was dark out, as fast as she could. But, I mean, she was hauling when she went through there, and she dove right into there. But if you go in and look out, it's all hollowed out in there. They just go and sit in there all night long. I don't know what the – other than to watch us watching them, I don't really know why they all hang out in there. But they had them – they were out across the street too, because I sat on the porch watching them, and there was a one spot, there was three or four of them over there, and I'd see the heads come up above the bushes, and then they'd duck down. Then the heads would come up, then they'd duck down. And that went on for quite a while. And then they were doing calls to each other from one side over there to the far side. So they were, like, having a good old time. And then, like I said, the tree, and I went out to see if it was the tree, you know, maybe it was a dead tree that with the wind and the storm it came down or whatever, but it wasn't. And after the storm last night, it wasn't down. That happened well after the storm. And I got up and I looked out my window in my bathroom, and all I could see was a tree. I mean, it was like leaves everywhere. So,
wow.
Yeah, so but apparently that's, you know, that was the thing. It was just to let us know that not to go out there because there's a snake there.
That was very good of them. So
yeah,
now
they keep a good eye on things.
How are you going to get rid of the snake?
I have no idea. Like, you know, in Michigan we had rattlesnake, but I was in the woods all the time and I never once saw one. Where I'm at here, it's like the land of the serpents. I don't know. They're crazy over here. And the Foots keep them out usually. Like, I'm the only one in the block that doesn't get them a lot. I've only had one black racer here. I almost stepped on it, and I just kind of looked at it, and it slithered off. But I've not had anything else. They have on both sides of me, but not here. So how this one got slipped through, I don't know. You know, I know we had that big bout of rain and the grass was growing really fast. My guess is it came up through the grass, but I didn't even know it was there. We had walked, Janice and I walked out back and we're putting gifts out for them. And we came back and she said, look over there. And I didn't even notice it. I knew it wasn't there the day before when I was out there, because I go out there every day. And here's this rattle, and you know it was a rattlesnake because it had where the rattle is at on the skin. But the skin
yep.
itself was sticking out from under the air conditioner unit. It wasn't just on the ground. Part of it was on the outside of it, but the rest of it was up inside the air conditioner. So I called my neighbor and I said, okay, who do we call out here for this? And she said, generally, you know, I don't know, because she said, we usually kill them with a shovel. And I said, I'm not getting close enough to kill it with a shovel, and I can't shoot at it because it's in the air conditioning unit. We, you know, had hoped it would leave. We put all kinds of stuff on the ground that, you know, different people had said, you know, that'll make the smell alone. We'll get them out of there. And I'm like, okay. And we've left it alone for 4 or 5 days. I assumed it was gone until today. And the Foots were like, no, you cannot go over there. So I don't know. I have no idea how to get rid of it. I called animal control. They told me to call DNR. I called DNR and they said I was on my own. And they did give me one number for a wildlife place to call, but I can't get anybody to answer.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So he's, like, tucked up under there. I thought I might have saw it earlier today in the back, but then I couldn't tell because I wasn't about to get close enough to look.
Well, here's a question for you. Does the air conditioning unit still work?
Oh, it's working great. And it doesn't seem to be up where the fan's at. It's under the base. And I just have no idea how in the world anybody would get it out. I mean, you can't start poking things under there. It's going to come flying out. But I had
and
thought,
flying
like,
right.
I thought, yeah, I had thought it was gone. But according to the Bigfoots, it's not. And they're very concerned because they've got kids out there. We know they've got kids out there. You know, and we have pets. As well as ourselves. So obviously there's a concern. So I'm hoping they'll find a way to get it out for me. They've been good at keeping snakes away. We had blue racers. Well, we had the rattlers too, but we had blue racers really prominent where I lived in Michigan. And you know, I said one day, I was very specific. I said, you know what? I don't want those here, because I remember my mom telling me stories when she was a kid about being chased by blue racers. And the people in the cattle farm behind us, when he would go to mow his fields, the snakes would come up over the big tires, the racers would. So I told the Foots, I said, if you can do anything with these blue racers, please do. Next day, I've got a blue racer with its head bit off, and the pattern of where the head was bitten off was exactly the shape of a mouth. You know, that arc. And right next to the snake was a bloody rock. So it looked like they bashed it in the head with a rock, and then somebody bit the head off of it. And I never saw another blue racer on that property the whole time. So I was kind of shocked that the rattlesnake made it in, because the next door neighbor has had copperheads and all kinds of different snakes over there. I haven't had anything. I had the black racer, and that was that. And that thing was perfectly passive. It was here once, and I never saw it again. So we will see.
Wow.
But it's been pretty busy. We're working with you a lot. You've got some amazing, amazing projects coming out that I can't wait everybody to hear and see.
That's great. We got coming up the Cherokee Comic Con. That is August the 24th through the 26th. And that's gonna be a lot of fun up there.
It's gonna be huge.
North Carolina.
It's gonna be huge. Igor will be there for that one.
Yep, and got you, and we got Janice Carter, we've got Igor, we've got Matt Delph, and maybe somebody else that I'll be able to announce next week. We can't say, but I'll get the clearance on that next week. We've got one more big kind of superstar coming, so it's gonna be a great event.
It's gonna be amazing. Amazing. And then you've got other conferences you're putting together as well.
Well, I wanted to make sure everybody knows about the two biggies at the end of October. One is the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and Festival, and that's going to be October the 18th through the 20th in Clayton, Georgia, at the Raven County Civic Center. That's going to be a lot of fun. She Squatchers will be there. Angelia Shear will be there. You'll be there. Janice will be there. Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, will be there. I mean, it's going to be just a wild,
crazy.
Igor
should be there, too. Unless his schedule changes, which I don't think it will, he'll be there. Like I said, he's going to be going. He likes to go and travel to different places when he's here and meet with different researchers, which is fantastic. But I know he's got a lot of plans too while he's here, and a lot of it includes doing the conferences with us, with you. He'll be able to talk about the Hominology Project, which we are real excited to get him out on that. This was his dream. This is what he wanted when it got started. And so that's kind of where everything, the idea came from.
And it looks like he might get his dream. It really does.
Yep.
We're working on it.
Well, we want to get people educated. There's so much information out there that just is not accurate. And there are no experts. You know, if somebody tells you an expert, run, because they aren't. It's a learning curve on a good day. But we've got a lot of really good qualified researchers, habituators, that have had reoccurring experiences over and over and over. And, you know, when you're seeing it over and over and over, you know that's what's going on. You know that's why they do it. We have a lot of people that we have contact with to pool information and research from the mind speak that they're getting from them, the activities they're getting from them, the contact. So it makes it nice to be able to pull all that together and get correct information. I mean, if you've got 10 people getting the same thing, it's safe to say that's correct information.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to think about it and all that. Now, we do have one other event that I want to let everyone know about. That is the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and that is October the 25th through the 27th in Kingsport, Tennessee, up at Kingsport, Tennessee. This will be our third year. We really love going up there. It's just a lot of fun. It's a beautiful place. There's a great zip line where you can go have fun, and that's free if you come to the conference. We got one of my favorite comedy troops, Little Finger Comedy Squad. They'll be there. They, I won't say they brought the house down. They just about brought me down last year.
Dad,
it was so funny. Do what?
Tell him. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that they did a skit, and I thought it was hysterical, and nobody else got the joke. So as soon as they did the punchline, I started laughing, and everyone in that room, there were about 80 people, they all turned around and looked at me, and I couldn't stop laughing. And I finally looked at them and said, y'all, this is funny. This is funny. You need to laugh. And nobody laughed. So they promised me that I will have a little editorial control over this next one to make sure that everyone else thinks it's funny and not just me. They promised they will not do the raising the dead skit. Oh, they raised the dead, all right, but not the way you think. So anyway, but it was great. And they're really nice people. They're from Kingsport, and they go around.
I'm
there.
I'm excited about
hard
it.
Built. Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So we'll have some good speakers. We'll have some good food. Those are the nice thing about that is tickets are cheap. They're $5 a piece available at the store.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because I've seen some other conferences that tend to be a little bit pricey, and, you know, you want it affordable so everybody can come.
That's
you know,
exactly
and have a
right.
good time.
Yeah, now the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, those tickets are $12.50 a piece because we've got a huge venue and
right.
a lot of great things.
But that's still
we're
reasonable.
Together,
that's still a reasonable.
For the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, we're $5 a piece. Tickets available at the door. They're also available on. They should be available online here 90 days out, which will be in about 3 weeks. So everybody should be able
that's
to come and enjoy it. They can meet Igor, meet you, meet Janice, meet Matt Dels. Meet me, Angelia, the whole crowd, and hopefully we'll have a couple of more new faces for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So,
yeah. Well, and,
I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, we've got Josh and Melissa Pierce, you know, and Melissa is doing a lot of sketches and stuff for the Hominology Project, of course, and I think some things for you. But the neat thing about it is, and Melissa and Josh don't live that far from me, they're getting Bigfoot activity at their house now. So they're getting brought into the whole Bigfoot phenomena too. And it's going really well. I've been there. I spoke with the Foots. I've checked over the area. And they're definitely getting activity there. So, and so far it's been very good activity. It's been positive. So I think they're going to – they seem to be enjoying the conferences a little bit more now, too, as they're getting pulled into all of this. And,
exactly.
And they – well, and Pat and I went on vacation to Tennessee for a few days, and which was lovely. We went and visited Jan and Dave before they moved here. And while we were gone, Josh and Melissa were just absolutely wonderful and came to stay with my large quantity of chaotic animals. And when they did, Melissa was getting activity here as far as looking out and seeing things outside and a couple of different individuals. So, you know, it's just been really nice. You know, they're just excellent people. And then to have them here, you know, being able to have them in our home. And we do things with them now. We have a lot of fun with them. They're great. But now they're experiencing it too. You know,
well,
my neighbor
well,
next door got – God love her. When I met the woman, I explained, you know, she kept wanting to know what I was doing out in the woods and, or out in the back. And so I finally, I told her because wherever I'm at, they're going to eventually show up. And her grandson came over one day and said that he needed to talk to me, that his grandma sent him over. And I said, is she okay? And he said, yeah, but we were seeing things in the backyard. And I'm like, okay. So I went over and I talked to her, and her older boy had been outside. He was visiting her and had been outside, and there was a very large one, Bigfoot, standing there. He got quite close to it, very much surprised him. And then her grandson the next day saw one going in between her yard, my yard, into our yard. So, you know, it was really good because I had already pre-warned them, so they weren't frightened. They weren't scared. You know, nobody on either side behaved badly. You know, and the reason I bring this up is because you can live with them around and have it be safe, have it be a good experience for both sides. You just have to know, not, I don't want to say protocol because it's not really protocol. You just have to learn a little bit about them, you know, and how to do it, because you can't treat them like an animal because they're a people. And so both of those encounters went very well. Nobody got hurt. There was no damage done. Nobody got scared or frightened, and it just went really well. You know, and I think that's another thing the Hominology Project is trying to do is, you know, get this information out. So when those encounters occur, and they will, it can be okay. It can be a pleasant experience. It's not frightening, and nobody is in need of therapy, or nobody's getting shot, you know, and it can just go the way it should.
Wow. So that's a good thing for sure. No one needs to be hurt in any of these encounters. Don't you agree?
No, and what I find when I talk to people, at least in my experience of talking to people, that times that it goes bad is somebody walks up on one and it's not aware of it, or possibly children are around, or our people panic and they go for a gun or something to think they have to protect themselves from. And they come at it in a fighting manner, which then it returns the same way. And there are bad ones out there. I mean, absolutely, I'll never say there isn't. Like our people, you know, we have good and bad people as well. But, you know, if you go into it and handle it in the correct manner, more times than not, you will have a peaceful encounter.
Well, that's some good advice. It really is. Now, one thing I'd like for you to do, because a lot of folks don't know what the word hominology means. Can you explain that just a little bit?
I can do it in a basic form for you, because I think that's the easiest way to do it. I mean, hominology is the study of bipedal beings. Okay, we're a homin. We walk on two feet. You know, hominology is we're going to study those bipedal creatures or beings or people. And that's what the Bigfoots are. That's what the dogmen are. You know, you've got these beings or people that are on two feet. And that's the study for hominids goes back through that. You know, we're really trying to make people understand that this isn't a study about an animal, because they're not an animal. They're a hominid, just like we are. And that is why we have that in the name. And it's listed as international because, you know, our leader in this, Dr. Igor Borisov, is Russian. We won't want to just hit the U.S. We want to hit this globally, because these people are everywhere. There's not a place on this planet that they don't go, literally. I've talked to people in Hawaii. I've talked to people in Ireland. I've talked to people in Australia. I've talked to Chinese. I've talked to Japanese. They're everywhere. There really is no place that they do not go. And so when we put international in there, it was a deliberate thing, because we want to have people understand that this is going to go across the globe. All right. We don't want to just study what is our safety net in the U.S. We want to combine the information from the researchers all over the world. And Igor has compiled just an astounding amount of information, and not just here, but I mean, you know, in Russia and all the surrounding areas. It's just mind-blowing. And what we're noticing is there is a basic pattern with the experiences and with the things that they are doing. You know, I mean, culturally wise, they're going to have this, you know, differences. But it's almost like there's a baseline of things that they all do activity-wise that is common no matter where they're at. I mean, you're going to find structures no matter where they're at. You know, the basic way of life, other than the cultural differences, are the same. And so we want to bring all that together. You know, the people in the States need to know about the ones in other countries. The people in other countries need to know about the ones in the States. We want the entire picture. We don't want just portions of it. You know, knowledge is power. And the more knowledge we can get, the better everybody's going to be. They're going to be safe. We're going to be safe.
Well, that sounds good. So those are Robin's rules of the road. Stay safe, be safe, no guns, and just be friendly.
Yeah, well, I'm like the safety police on everything. My kids used to tease me all the time. You know, and I was pretty easygoing. I was like, I don't really care too much what everybody's doing as long as everybody's safe, you know, and everybody, nobody's getting hurt. And I tend to be like the safety police. And in this, there are bad ones. People need to understand that not everyone you come up on is going to be nice. They just aren't. But I would rather go out in the woods with 100 of them than go out in a city in downtown by myself with 100 of us. Because our people misbehave way more than theirs do.
Well, that's good to know. I would have never guessed that, but that's good to know. Yeah, it can be kind of scary to go to downtown Atlanta or downtown Detroit.
Oh, yeah. I lived in Michigan, yeah. No, it's not. You know, and that's what I mean. It's scarier going down there than it is out in the woods. They
actually had one.
There was a Bigfoot sighting in downtown Detroit.
Well, I got my Detroit story. I want to tell you how scary Detroit really can be. I had come back from Windsor, Canada, and there was a sign that said, exit here, construction. And so I exited there, and I got up to this really rough-looking neighborhood. So I stopped at a stoplight, and I looked over there on my right, and there were two hookers. And I went on the next stoplight, and then I saw a drug deal get made. At that point, I picked up my cell phone, and I called 911, and I said, well, this may not be an emergency to you, but it is to me. And I said,
yeah.
You know, I've just seen this, and here's where I am, and here's what I was doing. They said, yes, you have an emergency. We want you to continue down that street. Go ahead and go through all the stoplights. We don't care. Just don't have a wreck, and we'll meet you, and then we'll guide you out. Because the officer said they, you know, some of the crooks do that. They put the exit signs here to get people just like there so they can roll your car. And I mean, I was absolutely frightened. I mean, I was rolling kind of slowly to one of the intersections because there was some traffic there, and I had some folks coming up to my car, and I didn't want them to come up to it. So I went ahead and took my life in my own hands and went through that intersection. Narrowly missing a car, and I got there, and the cops were there. They laughed at me, and they got me back on the interstate. But I'll tell you one thing. Detroit can be scary, so you're right. I think maybe
it is. Well,
with hominid or forest people, it might be a lot better and a lot safer than hanging out in downtown. Well, not downtown.
Well,
but in the projects of Detroit. I hate to say it, but that's what it was.
They had an article that came out, and this was several years ago. You know, I want to say maybe 5-6 years ago, about a Bigfoot that was in downtown Detroit. And a woman, and I might have told you this already, John. There was a gal and her husband that were looking for a home, and they had been out all day house hunting, and they came back, and they lived in a very, very rundown area of Detroit. And we all know there's lots of those areas. Most of the houses where they lived at were not inhabitable. I mean, people were just, they couldn't live there. And the windows were busted out, and they were empty, and the gangs were running wild down there. And they went to go home, and they drove up to this one corner where they were going to turn to the right to go home. And there was an abandoned house, two-story house right there. And the woman was in the passenger side. She happened to look to her right, and as she did, there was literally a Bigfoot standing in the, and this was at nighttime. This is about 7:30 at night. And it was, I think they said it was in the winter. And here's this big Bigfoot standing there. And when it saw the car stop and her turn and look at it, it literally ran and dove into the bay window that had been knocked out in that house. So clearly, you know, it's been hanging out there a while. And it was just a really big deal because, you know, people don't think of them being in the city. But, I mean, really, I mean, it's easier for them in the woods, of course, but they'll go into the city. They don't care, you know. And so it was a very big deal in Detroit. It made a lot of papers because people were just so shocked that it would be down there, you know. But back to the hominology, you know, we want people to recognize them as an ancient people because they truly are. And I think, you know, that's going to come into play with the whole hominology, too. I mean, I think the hominid is obviously bipedal, that's us, but these are an ancient people. And so we want people to not only understand that they're people, but they are an ancient people. They aren't like us. They're never going to be like us. And I think people, when we say, you know, they're part human and they're a type of people, they automatically look to us. And we need to get step outside of that box and understand that we're not the only type of people around. We never have been. And in their case, these aren't ancient people that have a completely different way of life and culture. Their ways are completely different than ours. So when you encounter them and you try to treat them like you would treat if you ran into one of our people, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. And that, again, is another thing that our Commonology product or project wants to get out to people.
Gotcha. That is just quite fascinating, Robin. And I think you have given us a lot of insight about the Hominology Project and about, if I may use it, Bigfoot as a race. They're an ancient race.
Exactly.
They're still around. They're not like us. So,
right. And, I'm excited.
Yes, ma'am. Please
because
go ahead. No.
I'm sorry. I mean to cut you off. I'm really excited because not only have we got this great project with a huge potential to bring a lot of areas together, but I get to work with some amazing researchers. I mean, really great people. I mean, there's Igor, of course. You know, Janice and I are doing just a ton of work together. I absolutely adore this woman. She has got so much information, and she is really as legit as they come. You know, and so I'm just really blessed, I think, to be able to have these kind of people, not to mention the other habituators that I have contact with that just get groundbreaking information on a daily basis. And plus the regular researchers and even just the general public that supports this project and encouragement. I mean, I think we're just really lucky that we've got the people on our side that we do.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, you know, you are building quite a community there. It's at International Hominology on Facebook. You've got about 200 people there that have liked the page, and more are liking it every day. And I think that's really wonderful. So, I mean, just the more work you do, the better off everything is. And, you know, we have people that are really excited about this. Some people don't like it. But you know what? We'll just keep on keeping on, won't we?
Yep. And, John, I thank you because you have been instrumental. You have no idea. You have been instrumental in this taking off, in its expected success. And I know it's going to succeed. I know the people that are working on this project, and there is not one doubt in my mind that if we keep pushing forward, we're going to move mountains. We're going to step on a whole lot of toes. And we will probably piss off a lot of people, although we're not doing this to upset anybody or, you know, cause any conflict at all. That is not our goal. But, you know, as we move forward, we probably will. I think anytime you start a project, you're not going to make everyone happy. That's not possible. And
nope.
I'm okay with that. But we're going to put out the truth. And it's not going to be the truth that everybody would like, because it's not going to be wrapped up in that nice little bow, in that nice little box that makes it easy for everybody. But it's going to be the truth. And it's going to be verified truth. And there's a difference. You can be a researcher and go out and say, I saw this, so the truth is this is what happened. I respect that all day long, because everybody's experiences, in my opinion, are valid. And I don't disqualify any of them ever, because that's their experience.
I've noticed that. Yeah, you say, well, I don't understand what they're saying, but that's their experience, and that's what they report. And that's a very healthy way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many crazy things happen to me that I can tell people, and I shake my head because it's hard for me to believe, and I lived it. So do I expect everybody to buy a hook, line, and sinker? No, I don't. What I ask is that they open their minds, their hearts, their ears, and just think of the possibility, okay? We don't feel like it's our job to prove they exist, okay? That's not what we're here for. What we're doing is simply getting the information. And when I say verified truth, I kind of want to elaborate on it, because when I say verified, it's verified because we have countless people, habituators, contactees, and this information is gathered, it's composited. So when we have this done all over and they're all doing the same thing, to me, that's verified. And anybody that knows me knows me well enough to know that I verify the crap out of every information I get. I don't care if it's just something that the foot of mine spoke to me. I'll get three other people and say, okay, now you ask them and make sure it's the same thing. And I won't tell anybody what I've been told. I'll wait to see what they get. And if they get the same thing I got, I'm sorry, that's verified fact. You know, but I do. I verify everything over and over again. And that's what we're doing. We're taking a network of people that are gracious enough to work with us. And whether they want to come forward publicly or not, that's up to their discretion. And we're taking the information they're giving us and we're pulling it together. And when all of that is the same thing over and over and over again, that's a verified fact. Because they don't know what's going on. This is all parts of the world. This isn't just like, you know, we all live on the same block. So if it's happening all around and everybody's getting the same thing, I'm going to put my money on that as the truth.
Gotcha. Well, that makes a lot of sense, Robin. It really does. So, I think you're doing things the correct way as a researcher. I've been a researcher most of my life, whether it's been at a university or writing books or whatever. You just got to verify everything. And once you can, you put it right down and you can feel good about it. So
because you can't go to a book and get the information you want. And the books that are available are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not knocking anybody's efforts in their books at all. What I'm saying is this rabbit hole goes so deep that it's not all in the books. We can learn from the books because, you know, they've checked it out. They know what they're talking about. But this gets really deep. And so you have to verify it repeatedly 10 different ways.
That's right. As I can misquote a famous president, trust but verify, and that's not exactly what President Reagan said, but it's a fact. Trust but verify, and that'll keep you out of trouble. It really will.
Well, Angelia Scheer. Now, you introduced me to her, and she's just as sweet as can be, and I talk to her quite often, her and her wonderful husband, Dale Houston. And she had called me one day this is right after I had met her, and we were talking, and she said, well, I don't really know if there's any Bigfoots out there, and I can't remember exactly how the conversation went. But as I was talking to her, one started talking to me and said, just tell her about the small yellow flowers. Now, I couldn't tell you the city she lives in, and she told it to me before, and I never remember it. And at that time, I had not been in Tennessee since probably 2004, not even that, probably 2003. And that was just in Nashville. So I don't know any place in Tennessee. And I certainly had never been to her house or even seen a picture. And I said, I interrupted her in the conversation because the one that was talking to me was so adamant. And I said, sweetie, I'm not trying to, you know, cut you off, but if I don't tell you this, they're going to drive me nuts. I'm supposed to tell you that they see you when you go by the little yellow flowers. And she just got kind of quiet. She said, are you serious? And I said, yeah, why? And she said, I can't believe you just said that. And I said, well, it didn't come from me. It came from them. I'm just transporting the information. And so she sent me on my phone this picture. And it's of this giant field. I don't even know what kind they are, a little tiny yellow flowers. And she said, this is where I ride my horse every day. And she was just amazed. And I said, don't be amazed at me because it didn't come from me. I just relayed the message. You know, I'm just the messenger. But, you know, for her, that solidified it. That gave her that edge where she knew I was really talking to somebody because there would have been no way I would have ever known about it at all. You know, and I said, well, it's a huge field of them, and they're just these little yellow flowers. They love the little yellow flowers, and the females really like the smell. And I'm telling her all this, and she's like, she kept saying, I just can't believe you said that. Like, I can't believe you said that. And I said, well, I'm just giving you the message. I mean, do with it what you will. And then she said, well, you got to see this. And that's when she sent me the picture. So we got quite the chuckle out of that.
Wow, that's impressive. That really is. Well, you know, this is a wonderful and interesting world in which we live. And the more we explore it, like through the International Hominology of Forest People and just with friends, relaying experiences and things, I mean, the more wonderful it gets. So I guess what I'd like to do, I mean, we told some great stories today, And I know that we've got next week, I believe we will have Janice Carter on with us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got some other exciting people that I want to eventually get on here as well.
That's great. I've got a couple of authors that I have interviewed on ScaryCast, and they have expressed interest in being on this show, so we'll have them.
Wonderful.
I think we're just going to have a lot of fun.
At some point in time, Tim Collins on here, who is a very dear friend and has had some great activity on his property, and I've been up to it several times, talked to his foot several times, casted a few prints of his foot, and he's got some interesting stories. And we've got Andrea Billups, who's another very dear friend. And I have to tell you that Andrea just has a presence about her, just this angelic, beautiful soul. And the Bigfoots love her. They just love her. And she's got some great interactions, lots of mind speak. She's moved from where she was originally at when I met her. And the foots just follow her. You know, once they like you, they follow you. So we've got her. Jim Silsbury was on Gary Cass, and I'd love to get him back on here. So and then of course Janice. You know, Janice is kind of my partner in crime right now. So we do a lot of things together, and I'm just really thrilled about it. We're having an awful lot of fun. We're learning a lot, and it's just a great pair up because, you know, I'm learning things from her. She's learning things from me. The foots are ecstatic that we're all together. I mean, they just were ecstatic when Janice and I got together. Igor is the one that introduced us and has been trying to for 6 years, and it just wasn't the right time. And when he came here last year, he said, well, Janice is going to bring me. I'm going to make sure you meet one way or the other. And we hit it off like we've known each other our whole life. And so, and her partner and my husband, Pat, get along fantastic. And she's just got a beautiful daughter, Holly. And so they're with us right now. We're thrilled to have them here. And they're starting a life here in South Carolina, and which is really great and super convenient because we are working on all these projects. So we're got the nose to the grind on this most of the time.
Well, that's great.
We just got back running around places that the foots were telling us to go. So.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. That was interesting. Maybe we can discuss a few of those at a later date once you verify and all that. That was fun. Well, I wanted to thank you for being my co-host today on our first episode of Talking About Bigfoot. We're going to have more Talking About Bigfoot once a week. We'll post it up on International Hominology Forest People so everyone knows who can listen to us. And next week we'll have Janice Carter. We'll put up a post here in a couple of days. Let everybody know what time. Call in, talk to Janice, talk to Robin.
Absolutely.
We'll have a blast. So
we will.
Again, thank you very much. And we'll be back again next week. Week number two. I always do the week, not by the day, but by the week number. So this was July, the first week of July. So we'll have our second week of July show next week toward the end of the week. And it'll kind of vary a little bit based on our guests and everyone's schedule. But, we'll be back next week, week number two of July 2019 at Bigfoot, at Bigfoot Central Station. It's Talking About Bigfoot. Robin, have a good one.
You too, John. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.